Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome again, another week to the Indigenous Chronicles. Today's question was, what must be done to make our political and civic leaders represent their Indigenous constituency? We have a question we're going to pose to you, and we definitely encourage and implore your calls, because we want this to be a conversation with all of the people. Everyone has their opinions. Everyone has their views, their ideas. And I would like for us all to continuously offer our pieces of the puzzle to make the whole one. We're looking for solutions. So, you know, the answer is within you, it's within me, it's within Janet, it's within us all. And we're hoping that we can engage you to be more assertive, because a lot of us are just sitting on great ideas and not doing anything with it. And a lot of us are sitting back critical of those who are doing something or doing nothing, instead of in fact making something real happen. So if in fact you are someone who has the capability, the ingenuity, the know-how, the insight to make a difference, then you're shortchanging yourself and us by not doing something with what you were given to. We are joined tonight by our legendary host, Janet Warwin Powell, a woman who has a lot of insight, a woman who has a lot of phenomenal ideas. And, you know, we have discussed working as a team to effectuate a lot of things that we know that we can change. So instead of just talking about it, we're going to do something about it. We'll keep you abreast of the things that we're doing. Hopefully, as an encouragement to you, that you can do the same thing, or you can do even greater things by just being assertive. So welcome, Halito. Janet, how are you?
Halito, Anthony, and everyone who's listening. Halito. Yeah, we're here, and we're here to share information, and always my angst about what we're not doing. And I'm going to continue to be in that frame of mind, because we have work to do. I heard twice today, twice, from two different people in two different conversations, that our people are tired. And as I had to say to you, and I had to say to somebody else, they can't be tired if I'm not, because I'm old. You understand? So if I'm not tired, nobody younger than me should be tired.
Okay.
And our elders work too hard. And hopefully we'll talk about that tonight also. But they work too hard for us to be tired. We have a lot of work to do. And we will talk about it tonight and continue to talk about who's not doing for us also.
Well, you and I had discussed previously there's that old gospel song, "I don't feel no way time. I've come too far from where I started from." We have to, you know, get ourselves out of that mode of defeatism, because, you know, society has given us every door and every key for failure. And when, in fact, failure occurs, they can give you 1,001 reasons. You know, don't feel bad. You know, a lot of people have tried, and, you know, oh, don't feel bad. It was, you know, I really didn't think you would do it, did you? You know, don't feel bad. You know, there's so many reasons why they can tell you why something didn't, in fact, happen. And that's not necessarily failure. Suppose it didn't go through at this particular time because it wasn't supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason. Suppose he wasn't ready for it. Suppose he was a squander. You know, so you had to be a little more mature. You had to, you know, get slapped upside the head for a second or two, and then you came back stronger. You came back meaner. You know, it's like, hey, I'm a dude.
Yeah.
You know, we have to.
And you have to remember, too, that we don't know. There's a lot we don't know. There's a lot we were not taught. There was there's a lot that we were deliberately kept from knowing.
We were
given their laws of the land that we follow. We follow their laws. We were taught to do that. That in order to be proper, we were being proper. You had to follow the laws of the land. You had to honor the laws. You had to trust the system.
Mm-hmm.
Trust enforcement. Trust government and behave yourselves. And we did all that. We did all
trust.
That. In the meantime, In the meantime, they weren't doing it.
Right.
They still don't do it.
You know what's amazing, Janet? They don't believe in the Jesus they told you to believe in.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that deep?
No.
Because why in the hell would they be going around lynching you? Why in the hell would they have your children reading substandard books, outdated books, outdated material? Why would they have your children at a disadvantage if, in fact, they felt as though they were truly superior? They would not have you at a disadvantage. So the belief system that they imputed upon us is not what they believe. They don't believe in all the Jesus that they tell you to believe in. Believe me, when I tell people, they don't believe in
Jesus.
Well,
they do, but it's theirs.
Yeah, it's there for them, for your destruction.
Right. And they believe that. The Klan burns the cross. They honor their God.
Yeah.
To get rid of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, go ahead.
Well, what did Donald Trump say? Donald Trump, when he was talking about the Klan, well, and I believe on that side, there are some good people, too.
Mm-hmm. He said it's enough to blame on both sides.
Right.
But
totally.
He's a supremacist. His dad was, his grandfather was, his mama was, I understand. Worse than them. But here's where the issue is. We bought their stories hook, line, and sinker.
And sinker. Yes, we did.
We absolutely believe that we all were praying to the same God.
Yes.
The same universe, whatever. We actually believe that. When we went inside of our buildings.
Yes, we did.
I think until it came out about the evangelicals and the Klan, clearly parading, still operating as a Christian organization, killing and maiming people and threatening to do that. So when you put it out there that our politicians, one of the things they should be doing is handling that 13th and 14th Amendment of the Constitution and getting rid of dispelling, disbanding, and telling, making it clear that the Klan and the Nazi Party are terrorist organizations. I'm not understanding why that's so difficult. What's so difficult about it? Why aren't we even fighting that? We don't have a nickel in that quarter. So it still falls back on us. Where are we?
Right. Well, they could get rid of the Black Panthers because they were a terrorist organization.
There you go.
And the Black Panthers, from my research, were feeding indigenous children.
Yes.
They were educating indigenous people.
Yes.
And they were involved in, you know, the local politics. And actually, they became involved in the national dialogue.
Absolutely.
When they ran into the idiot Ronald Reagan as governor with their guns.
Yes.
So,
and they never pulled the trigger.
Never pulled the trigger. But these
never
brothers
Never shot a gun.
They were disbanded. They were murdered. You know, they haven't murdered
arrested.
One clan. No.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Infiltrated.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, vilified. They have not done that to the Klan. They have not done that to them. But let's come back, because we're gonna leave you with this question. The question that we have for you is concerning your leaders, your political leaders. You can even take it to your civic leaders and your
mm-hmm.
religious leaders. Is there a shelf life for these people? Should there be a shelf life? Why are they in office forever? Why do we keep voting the same people in who are doing the same nothing for us? So is there a shelf life? You know, think about that, and please call. We implore you to call. We want to hear from you. And don't forget, the number is 563-999-3242. 563-999-3242. Press 1 to be in the conversation. We will return after this. Remember, there's a message in the news.
Sounds good.
And here you can see that. You have a lot of people. Okay, we're going to be back after this song. So, like I said, there's a message in the music. And please enjoy the song. We'll be right back. really care about us. Powerful. Okay, well, let's get back to it. We're really getting deep into it, and I had to cut away for the song, but remember, ladies and gentlemen, 563-999-3442. We want to hear from you. We want to hear from you ASAP, because I know you have a lot of ideas, and there's some personal stories that you have that you would like to share, and we want to hear it. Again, the question I put out to you was, is there a shelf life, or should there be a shelf life for your leaders, political, religious, whatever? I mean, who put them into office forever? I mean, I'm thinking of, like, you know, in your biblical text, they speak of a Moses who was there, you know, forever until he died. And you hear of other kings who were there allegedly until they died. These leaders of yours, the Jesse Jacksons, Al Sharptons, on and on and on and on. And I'm talking even of these political figures who are in city council or Congress, you know, 20 years, 15, 20 years, and they become career politicians, and they're still doing the same nothing for you. Jen and I spoke earlier concerning the judges. You know, when we vote, when we go to vote, I'm in District Council 33 here in Philadelphia, and I receive a list of who District Council 33 recommend I vote for. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I also received something in the mail from my local city council people. You know, these are the people we suggest or recommend you vote for. Now, who is it who suggested to them that they endorse these people? Was it for money? Was it for some sort of deal where it's a bill that they want to pass will be passed if in fact they jump on board on this particular issue? You know, so again, if you have any input, please give us a call at 563-999-3442. Press 1 to join the conversation.
We definitely want you to call, because this show is a national show, and we want to hear what's going on where you live. We know what's going on in Philly because we're right here. And I don't think it's that different. But we need to know that. And then we can I love Michael's song. We all do.
Yes.
They don't care about us, but do we care about each other?
Okay.
And so a question for me is, and a concern I have, is us not caring for each other.
Mm-hmm.
That we do tend to give more credence to what they do and believe in their laws, believe in their rules of order, believe in their court system that is tragically not for us, but we are the tools for them to rise in whatever fields that they have. We are their tools. It's time that we know this. I mean, and I'm not, sadly, we do believe them.
Mm-hmm.
So again, we need to look at each other. We need to look at what we're doing and what we're not doing for each other, because, again, they don't care. If we don't care, what's the results of that going to be?
Let me ask you this, Janet. On various levels, like you said, we believe. Why has not there been an outcry on various levels? I'm speaking on civic, on the spiritual level, from the clergy or whatever your belief system is. Maybe there is an outcry that I just haven't heard about, but why hasn't there been an outcry telling people you know, they're liars. They have been lying to you from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
They're lying to you now, and they will always be liars. You know, what was the old saying that Grandma used to say, a tiger can't change his stripes?
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to change. The only change is the sleight of hand. You know,
mm-hmm.
they're going to, you know, dress it up. Poison is poison. You know, you can add sugar to it and it tastes good. You know, it's still going to kill you. Or you can take
mm-hmm.
the poison straight. You can take
mm-hmm.
it straight and it's going to have a bitter taste, you know,
mm-hmm.
but you know it's going to kill you. So, you know, it's like, how do you like your poison? Do you like it sweet
wow.
or do you like it straight up? You know, so we really, I posed the question. I mean, is anyone telling you the truth? Are there any leaders on any level who are telling you, you know, these folks are liars and
mm-hmm.
don't expect anything but a lie from them?
And they should be telling us what they're doing about it.
Mm.
They should be introducing us to methods and reasons and ways and means of making changes. So if they're not doing it, where are we? Where
mm-hmm.
are we? Why aren't mm-hmm. we expecting or telling them what we expect from them? Why aren't we doing that?
Well, one reason you and I came up with the solution, well, an answer earlier, we said we're taught to wait.
Yeah.
We're taught to wait and to be patient. Wait. Wait.
Yes. Yes. Wait on it.
Yeah, eventually it's going to come from up there somewhere. You know,
well,
you
can't. The belief system for prayer is good. And that's what
mm-hmm.
we have to do. We've got to put that energy out that it is returned, even if it's for self. The energy
mm-hmm.
makes a difference. The energy
mm-hmm.
of positiveness makes a difference. The energy of non-failure makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
However, it doesn't mean that you don't, that you just wait on it and you don't do the work. It doesn't mean that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the work is not being done. There's no
right.
work being done. If
mm-hmm.
if you are in communities where the majority, your people are being killed,
yes,
not killing each other, being
mm-hmm.
killed.
Being killed.
Being killed. If
mm-hmm.
If your properties are being foreclosed on because the city hasn't fixed them, but
mm-hmm.
you're paying taxes, your streets are
mm-hmm.
still cracked, you don't see
mm-hmm.
services, where are you with that?
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't you contacting the people necessary to make demands?
Mm-hmm.
And we have the right to do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If the majority of too many of your people are standing in that line and being incarcerated and going through a criminal justice system that is totally biased, racist,
mm-hmm.
and where we're used for that system to make money, and you don't
mm-hmm.
realize that slavery never ended,
mm-hmm.
where are you with that? Where's
mm-hmm.
your fight? Where's your fight?
Mm-hmm.
So it still comes back to us and what we're
right.
not doing.
Right.
Because we still believe in their system.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We are the ultimate believers, and it is to our detriment that we believe that these folk have our best interest. Who can have your best interest but you? You know, why would you even give that power to someone? You know, I mean, I have a dog and a cat, and they are my pets, and I feed my pets. And, you know, I will give the dog, he's a cane corso, he's a big dog, so
mm-hmm.
I don't give him a bath. I give his butt a shower.
mm-hmm.
But the point I'm making is I take care of my pets, and they depend on me.
Mm-hmm.
And if I just sleep a little late on the weekend, because they're used to me walking them at a certain time,
mm-hmm.
if I sleep a little late, don't you know they're at my door?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you know I can hear the cat scratching on my door, like, hey, man, you know, look, we're on our clock. You're off yours, you know. Get up and sleep. So what I'm saying is, you know, do we enjoy being treated like pets?
Mm.
Do we enjoy being treated like a minority, you know, whereas you need the majority or the senior in the equation to take care of you.
Mm.
But this is pretty much where our so-called leadership has brought us. They brought us to this point where it's like we're just totally anticipating and hoping for something from these people. You know, and even if we walked away today and said,
mm-hmm.
you know, to help you, we're going to divest, we're going to take all of our money out of your banks, we're going to, well, don't talk about what if we did it. If we
right.
did it, we took all of our money out of their banks, if we,
absolutely.
You know, and we said, okay, we're going to reopen that old factory, and we're
mm-hmm.
going to make our own clothes. We're going to make our own this. We're
mm-hmm.
going to purchase this.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to purchase this farm, these farms. We're going to make our own, you know, grow our own food.
Mm-hmm.
And we just bought these boats, and these boats we're going to go out and we're going to catch fish and lobster and crabs and so forth. What if we did that? And we sold amongst ourselves. You know, I mean, what is stopping us from being major and being the majority that in fact we are?
Right.
Because you can't convince me that that these folk who we call white, whatever form they're in, Jew or Gentile, that they are no more than 10% of the world's population, if that much.
Right.
If that much. You know, so in fact, they are the minority, and you are the majority. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, why are you still allowing a minority to tell you who you are, what you are, where
mm-hmm.
you came from,
mm-hmm.
and how you got here?
Absolutely.
You know, and we trust too much. And as Michael said, all I want to say is that they really don't care about us.
Mm-hmm. Only for the benefit of what they receive. We support their banks.
Mm.
Everything that we were not allowed to do during segregation, everything
yeah.
that we were not allowed to do, we jumped to do it. We jump to do it. Now, I'm going to say maybe the majority of our people don't know that we are the majority economic power in this country.
Mm-hmm.
We are the economic power. They
mm-hmm.
exist on our not having, because there are so many services in the government that they can make money on by our being
mm-hmm.
depleted, being at our worst. Being at our worst
mm-hmm.
is how they make the most money.
And
mm-hmm. we don't get that. Boycotts
mm-hmm.
do work. Boycotts
mm-hmm.
work.
Mm-hmm.
As you said about the banks, it would take 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
If everybody pulled their money out of these banks, 3 days, they would do whatever we ask them to do. They would make corrections for us. Small businesses can't get loans, or we get them. We took the money out of the bank.
Mm-hmm.
What do we need the money for in the bank? Why is our money in the bank? What's it
mm-hmm.
doing for us? Because we can write a check. You can get a money order. You
mm-hmm.
can pay cash. You don't have to have a bank account. And if companies are demanding that you have one, you don't deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as
you
that.
Know what?
We, mm-hmm.
And that is so powerful what you said, Janet, because if in fact we said, you know, to hell with this particular institution, and if they came back and said, well, you got to have a bank account, you got to have a check to deal with us, and we said, to hell with you. Don't you know they changed their tune? They would change their tune quick.
Absolutely.
But that is not the time, from my perspective, or the ever the time, to give in and say, okay, well, they like us now. No, they don't like you. They will come and make quick deals with whoever they can sell out, get to sell out. So I heard of a case where when Jesse Jackson, I think I mentioned it before, was told us to boycott Coca-Cola. And we listened. We thought, hey, Jesse said it, and hey, Jesse, get things done. So we boycotted Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola went to Jesse, and my understanding is that Jesse Jackson's brother-in-law wound up owning a Coca-Cola bottling plant. Now, I don't know what other deals were made, but that is one that I heard of for sure. So, you know, it's like if, in fact, you set yourself up to be a quote-unquote leader and you're, in fact, selling your people out, you know, that's what you are. You're a sellout, and you're not about, you know, the people. So, again, it gets back to that question. What's the shelf life for these so-called leaders? I mean, why are they still in power? Why do we still empower them? Why haven't we collectively told them, you don't speak for us? You know, you don't speak for us, and, you know, we don't hear what you have to say. And, you know, and let it be known, you know, to those folk who think they control the media, well, you know, Jesse, don't speak for us. Al, don't speak for us. This one, that one, don't speak for us. They speak for themselves, you know.
And
I don't know. Go ahead. What are you saying?
They're speaking for corporate America, too. They're being paid.
Yes, they are.
You know, they're getting the corporate dollars. But we support, again, we support that because we're paying the most in cable fees. So
Isn't that deep?
No, we pay the most. And, of course, their marketing, and their brainwashing continues. There's one thing you and I did discuss this earlier about the fact that when we were on the land prior to the invasion from Europe, prior to that, we were fine.
We got
our messages, we got our news, we did our ceremonies, we ate well, we drank good water, we traveled. We traveled from the southern regions of North and South America to Europe and Spain. Little boats, not the boats they lie about. Sailboats, because we were trading, and that's how we earned our living. Mostly the males did, while the women took care of home. But we did all of that. We were fine. Now, I have a big problem with us being ignored right now. That's our fault also. You know, I don't know about other cities, but I know Philadelphia is a big revolutionary city. And they're advertising the Revolution Museum. That's being promoted for tourism. But it's being promoted as if there were no people here prior to their arrival.
Yeah.
Well, where are we?
Right.
Again, how are we allowing, ourselves to be totally ignored?
Right.
So,
right.
Again, it's still back to us. It's still back to what we're going to do about it, who we're going to force to pay attention to us, to have meetings, to have the block meetings, to have the neighborhood community meetings, call them in, sit them down, and tell them what we expect.
Right.
This should happen all across the country.
I agree. A real political action coalition that will effectuate the changes on the various levels that we deem as a people necessary. And it gets, again, I'm talking about the political environment, the local folk we put in office, the local legislators. They should definitely be representing indigenous concerns.
Absolutely.
And in fact, you know, once they get there and they're enjoying that $175,000, be it city council or state rep or whatever, they're enjoying that little bit of money and they're just playing ball to get along, then I think if, in fact, it's a known fact that we put them in the office, we tell
mm-hmm.
them, you're coming out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and then,
mm-hmm.
you know, no apology. We don't want to hear nothing. You're out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we put you in to represent us. So on whatever level, you know, for those of you who choose to be involved in with politics, because, you know, it's something Janet and I were speaking about earlier, how some of us will criticize, you know, Dr. King and some of
mm-hmm.
the others for, you know, hindsight. You know, you look back and you can see all the mistakes that were made and you see where we felt there was compromise or we felt that, you know, there were sellouts on this level or that level. One thing that I did, you know, Jan and I did say, some of these folks were doing something at that time where a lot of folks were just sitting.
Absolutely.
A lot of folks were just sitting on their butts, not doing anything, waiting.
Absolutely.
They were still criticizing while these other folks were out there doing something. Now,
mm-hmm.
I don't agree personally with all of everything that they did. However,
mm-hmm.
they did something. They had the courage. They had the courage to go and do something, you know. And I think with some of us, there may be that fear factor, you know, who's going to listen to me, you know. You know, you can't fight cityhood, or you know, it's ridiculous. You know, all of the negatives that they have put out there. All the rumors, all the negative talking points, which should have no validity in our minds,
absolutely,
we allow to affect us.
Right.
So.
And yes. And I said, and I mentioned to you, rather than us doing that against people who stepped out and fought the system the best way they knew how,
yeah,
our argument shouldn't be with them. It should be with those oligarchs who are running this government.
Right.
Why are we even talking about those in the past who did the best they could do with what they had?
Absolutely.
When our suffering has nothing to do with them today. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not talking about that.
Right.
I don't hear any emphasis on any changes. We're talking about voting coming up in 2 years. We got judges on the docket. You got people sitting in city government that are up on it. Why aren't we talking about them?
Right. Well, let me get out the number again. 563-999-3442. 563-999-3442. Press 1 to jump in because this is a very good conversation. Believe me, we're handling it, but we would really like to hear what you have to say about it, too. You're right, Janet. Why aren't we doing something about it? Why?
Absolutely.
Why?
Right now. We are the most quiet. I read a little statement from a journalist who is right now he's like torn between what's going on in the United States and what's going on in France, because you know there's the big stuff going on in France.
Yeah.
And he said, he had the question, why is it there seems to be no action in France from the non-white community? Why? Now, he said that about France. We can say that about here. Why is there no action or presence in the fights that are going on right now from us, the Negro, in the United States?
Yeah.
Where are we? Mm-hmm. Is it like, oh, you know, it's not our fight? Oh, the whole thing is about us. Everything that's going on in this country is all started and is about our removal.
Mm-hmm.
And we're saying right. nothing.
Right. We have 267 online. 267, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are y'all doing tonight? Y'all
all
really
right,
talking
some good stuff. And welcome.
This is Janet, this is Falls.
I know.
Yeah, y'all really hitting on some real good points here tonight. I just tuned in and I was like already excited to hear the conversation.
Good.
I mean, it's definitely true that this is a well-needed thing that we need to do. We definitely need to step up on these issues and hold these people accountable.
Absolutely.
You know, and not be afraid, because, I mean, it like you said, if doing nothing, you're not going to get anything. If you don't put anything in, you don't get anything out.
Why do you think it's been so quiet?
In our communities.
Why do you think?
I think a lot of people too are also maybe they are distracted. Maybe they're in a predicament where they're feeling comfortable. Maybe they got certain things are going on where they just feel like, you know, well, you know, everything is going smooth here, so I don't have to worry about that. And then, of course, like you said, the people that are, you know, that are, like you said, just thinking that we're powerless. Because I hear that a lot, too. Like y'all was saying the other, just a moment ago, where a lot of people are like, you know, that's not going to work. Or I don't think, you know, is anything we can really do about that. You know, I hear a lot of the elders say that, too. I hear a lot of the elders say that as well. A lot of the elders will be like, well, this stuff has been going on for so long. What can we do about it? That kind of attitude. Like, their attitude is like, you just got to do what you got to do for now, because what can we do about those things that they've been going on? And so their attitude is like, it's been going on, and it hasn't changed yet. So it doesn't look like it's going to change anytime soon. That's their attitude, some of the elders that I've come across, some of our elders, that minds. Not saying all, some.
Yeah,
and it's like a defeated mindset. Yeah, it's like a defeated mindset. Then I know, but you know, I notice a lot of our, like a lot of the younger generations, they are warriors. I notice they are like, we're coming out like, you know, we're like, hey, something's got to change. Like you said, like something got to change. Not umpteen years from now, or we don't know when it's going to happen, but we got to make some changes happen now. And maybe there might be some changes that happen somewhere down the line, but you know, there's some things that we can change and affect now. And we need to do it now. That's the way a lot of the young people are on that wavelength.
Mm-hmm.
But they're getting a lot of flatbacks from the elders.
Yeah, because they don't know what to do. They know something needs to be done, but they don't know what to do, and they don't understand, and we haven't taught them. If you notice, too many of our schools are closed, so they're not being educated, and even if they were, they're not getting the courses they need. They're not getting, they're not getting the instruction they need, and now we have to know that's deliberate. Don't we know that? That's deliberate.
Yeah, we have to know that by now. We should know that. Yeah, we should definitely know that.
We should know that, and that ours are complicit. Our own people are complicit in that. And we have to be real about that. Well, they need to know that we know and that we're tired of them. And it's time that we ratchet them up, get new people, and it's not enough to get new people in to fight the fight. We have to pay attention to how they're fighting the fight and what they're doing. So we have to continue to pay attention, and when they get off kilter, we let them know, hey, hey, screw, you know, back it up, what you doing? And if they don't finish their terms and no substantial changes have been introduced, they got to go. They have to go.
That's right. No, that's absolutely right. They got to go. Yeah, that's where we have to start getting on that accord. And then I was just, you know, just to put it out there, we have to stop raising our kids today with that mindset of get good grades. You know, something like, because you know, a lot of our people they're not necessarily, you know, we're promoting that. Like you said, we should really educate our own youth more. But we know some of our people in certain circumstances, they're sending them off. So, you know, they're doing what they think they have to do. So, with the structure that we're in, kind of like seemingly forces you to do. So they're doing it, and you know, not thinking much about it, but. Their mindset is still carrying this old mindset of, okay, you know, telling the kids, you know, get good grades, and then you're going to go to college and you're going to get this good job. But, you'll be able to do it if you get good grades. So get good grades and just do good all in your schooling, and then you'll go get this job. But what they don't realize is that, you know, that old way of thinking is really out. It's outdated. It's outdated now. It's like you know, for one thing, a lot of this job security is not even really there, you know, really at all. And jobs are really slaving you, just like they were supposedly showing you in those Root movies on the cotton field. They are slaving you like crazy now. And they're not looking to pay you anything. A lot of them don't even want to give you benefits. They don't have to do that. And I'll just give an example, something that a lot of people might not think about. You know, we get mad when a company, and I don't even want to really bring up Trump because I know how we all feel about that, but I'm going to bring it up because this is how they're looking at these people that are sitting up there, you know, making these rules. So, you know, reason I'm saying it's bad to have our kids in that mindset is because, You're really on the losing side because you think, so why would you cut these jobs? All these people need it, right? That's how we're looking at it because we're like, man, why would you cut the layoff people and cut back and all that? And we're like, why would you do that? People need the jobs. And then we're thinking if nobody has the jobs and they won't have the money to go out and buy all these things that also the people, you know, that also is out here for you to buy. Well, the companies, when they do that, you know, as I just found out, you know, for shareholders and people that are holding stock, that actually makes it look more lucrative to them. They actually lay people off and make cuts, and it makes the shares look good. So for them, the stocks go up. And that means that people make money when you lose your jobs. I'm just putting that out there that, you know, we really need to start understanding how commerce works. And I'm not just talking about, you know, just money. but commerce. Commerce is so many things. Commerce is relationships. It's a lot of different things. I give one example. I was just looking at the situation they're having over there and the other countries with indigenous people. And, you know, I'm hearing people make the same similar comments. Like, you know, they're saying things like, West Papua will never be free. Because as soon as they kick Indonesia out, then Australia is going to jump in and they're going to just take the Australia and the U.S. is going to jump in and just take their resources as well. So, you know, everybody's in a defeated mindset with what's going on. But there's some people who are like, no, F that. They're like, you know, we want our freedom. And, you know, there's got to be some solutions and we're going to find these solutions. And they're like, you know, they're in the same boat. It's kind of like similar things going on, but some of them are being even more marginalized than we are in certain ways, you know, because, you know, things happen here, but they happen just a little more in a different way where they don't look like, you know, they try to make it seem like where it don't look like it's as bad kind of thing. But yeah, and still it is in a lot of ways. So, you know, you don't have anybody right at this moment just coming out with a whole, sending the whole military down on you. But at the same time, you do still have the police, all these different cases where people are getting knocked over the head, you know, all that.
Right.
And it happens. And these people get off, like, no charges, none of that. So you do still have that going on. But I just think we just have to learn how things work, because and I'm go back to the commerce statement. I heard someone make a comment. They said, "Well, Indonesia, they tried to make it look like, you know, I realize these countries have the people brainwashed too badly. People that are in Indonesia actually think they're doing the right thing by colonizing another people's land. They have their own citizens very brainwashed, and then they have their own citizens." On top of that, their own citizens, some of them, actually, they may be forcing some of them to go along with the program as well. Some of them are not.
Here in the United States, you have other ways of enslavement. You got paper, insurance,
mm-hmm.
pension.
Mm-hmm.
You got all of that stuff. These companies have you insured. You are insured. In fact, you're paying the insurance out of your paycheck. So if you go down, they don't. They have all the methods needed in order to continue their businesses, grow their businesses, reap more benefits from you and your pain than, look at the criminal justice system. Look how many are employed. Look at who's employed.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. You got to keep them rolling in order to pay out. And you have, and Anthony and I talked about this the other day, we are going to be spending some time checking on who and what politicians who represent us, who we pay taxes to, are vested in the criminal, in the prison system. Are we going to look for them? Because they are.
We're going to find them. We're going to find them and expose them. And we want you all in different states, different cities, to do the same thing.
Absolutely. It's the same thing.
Rats. Expose those rats for who they are.
There you go. And stop believing that what they do is correct. Stop
mm-hmm.
believing that the laws are for you. They are not for you. They
mm-hmm.
are for them.
Well, we're down to our last 2 minutes. Falls, we'd like to thank you, Falls Mystic, for your call. And please,
I'd like to thank
don't
you,
have to for the week. Janet, take a minute and say what you'd like to say.
Oh, no. I want everyone who is listening to continue to follow us, pay attention to what we're doing, because we're not just talking about it. We are not just talking about it. We will be working, giving information and knowledge as we find it, and we're going to work at affecting some change and exposing those who don't care. We're going to do that because too many of us are hurt.
there's a lot more coming. Just pay attention, stay with us, and of course we welcome always your input. And don't fear calling. I mean, call. If you have a question, if you're confused, say so. There's no shame in that game. We can discuss it, share the information, and we can help everybody understand better about how we are being forced to not live well in America. We have to do that.
Mm-hmm. And I'd like to close with this. It's from my book, The Indigenous Chronicles, Chapter 1. It's called Birth Pains. The day shall come, the night shall too, when those who have shall have to lose, when those without who have within shall reap reward from earth again. The first to last, the last was first. Don't fret or mourn the pains of birth. Brothers and sisters, thank you. Thank you for your continued support. And we will see you again and talk to you again next week. And always remember to keep your other brothers and sisters in prayer, the indigenous people around the world, as we rise together. As we rise, they're going to have to step down as we step up. So be ready for the change. See you next week. Janet, take care.
I do, and until then.